Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 9, starting at verse 10. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Morning. I want to thank everyone for coming out this morning. I know we're wrapping up our time here before we have a preacher again, and for the past, how many months now, six, 7 months now, we've had quite a variety of men from our congregation who have gotten up to preach sermons. And for all of you who have done that, thank you. It's been wonderful to hear a variety of perspectives and opinions, and it has been phenomenal, at least from my perspective, to really get to understand the skills and talents of some of our congregation and their outlook on the Bible. And I'm very honored to be one of those that's been asked to get up and speak. What I want to talk about this morning is something that's been on my heart for some time, as is in that scripture that was just read by Paul, that was quoted from that Jesus quotes from the book of Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," or compassion, as it's sometimes translated. Mercy is a beautiful thing that God has given us, and he expects us to show it out. But that is not always done, unfortunately. And this really hit home for me about a year ago, in a way that you wouldn't expect. I was watching a podcast called The Co-optional Podcast. That's a picture of it there. It's about video games. And it's a weekly podcast that they do, talking about video games for a couple hours every week. A lot of fun. And there's three hosts, and then they bring in a fourth as a guest every week, a different guest every week. This week, the guest was a woman named Laura Kay, who is in the bottom right there. And she is a video game writer in England. And as far as the show went, everything seemed to go well until after the show was over. See, Laura Kay is transgendered. And as you can imagine, that makes some people uncomfortable. I'm one of them. Right? It's not a fun thing to talk about, and it's a thing in our culture that is very difficult to deal with from a scriptural perspective, as in we see it as sinful, and yet the world does not. But the responses that were sent to her after her appearance on this podcast were not loving and merciful. They were messages like, "Read the Bible, God wants you to die. God hates you. Why are you here? God doesn't even want you to be in this world." And it got so bad to the point that they had to turn off the comments on the video and issue an apology to their guest. And in that apology, the main host said something that really hit me. He said, "This is why I don't spend time with religious people." That really hit home to me. That was how he viewed religion, as hateful, as people who just despise others. This wasn't the only group of people who are out there spreading that message. Some of you may have heard of the Westboro Baptist Church. They've made the news quite a bit a number of years ago for the protests that they would do. As I was searching for a picture to put up of the Westboro Baptist Church, I had a hard time finding one that I could use because so many of the signs and messages they put out there used words that we wouldn't even think about using in a church. They were so offensive, and yet they're putting them out there in the name of God and Christ and saying that this is what God wants. They were out protesting soldiers, out protesting politicians, and protesting maybe for things that they saw as good and righteous, but in a way that showed hatred rather than love and mercy. See, people outside the church often view the church negatively. And while we can't control the actions of some of these people that are out there, we can shine our light of mercy even brighter so that they can know that that's what God is about, not hate. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Where he writes, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." We should be living such good lives in the world that even when they want to accuse us because of who we are, they're ashamed in doing so because we are living such good lives. We should be showing respect to those out there, even when they're in sin. They're going to accuse us. We can't move away from that. They accuse Jesus. But they should be ashamed in their accusation because of the loving way in which we live. There are a lot of ways that Christians are described in the Bible and the way that we're supposed to be living. Here's a few of them: loving, kind, gentle, peaceful, compassionate, merciful. Those aren't adjectives of people that are shining hate. Our God is a God of mercy. He loves us and has shown us great mercy. You don't have to study the Bible for long before you'll see the mercy of God and what he has done. He showed his mercy over and over again to the people of Israel. They should have been wiped out by him multiple times. And he showed them mercy and forgave them. As we sang in the song this morning, Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. God's mercies have been there for us. He loves us, and he's shown mercy to all of us. And even in the Old Testament, it wasn't only the people of Israel that he showed mercy to, but any who would repent and turn to him, he would show mercy to. It's why he sent Jonah to the people of Nineveh, to get them to repent. But Jonah didn't want to do that. And it wasn't because he was afraid of the Ninevites. What Jonah tells us in Jonah chapter 4 is that he did it because he didn't want God to show them mercy. Look at Jonah chapter 4, starting at the beginning. "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. For I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God who is slow to anger and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Jonah didn't want to preach to Nineveh because he didn't want them to be forgiven. But God wanted to show them mercy. And that's what he says in the rest of the chapter when you pick up from verse 4. And he tries to get that point across to Jonah. He says, "But the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' For Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city and made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. The Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind so that the sun blazed on Jonah's head and he grew faint. And he wanted to die and said, 'It would be better for me to die than to live.' And God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' And he said, 'It is. And I am so angry that I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left, and many animals as well? God wanted to show mercy to the people of Nineveh. That's why he sent Jonah. And when they repented, he showed that mercy to them. Jonah didn't like that. So he did what people sometimes do when they don't like that. He pouted. We don't know what happened to Jonah after that. We don't know if he got the message from God or not about mercy. His story ends at that point. In the New Testament, the mercy becomes even more apparent. Jesus set examples of mercy. In the passage that was read beforehand, he sat down with tax collectors and sinners. And when they questioned him about that, what did he say? Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the right, not the righteous, but sinners. When a woman was caught in adultery, in John chapter 8, they dragged him before him and asked him what to do. He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That becomes even more powerful when you remember that Jesus was that one who was without sin. Jesus was the one who did have that right to cast that first stone. But he didn't. And after everyone else had left, he says to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And listen to what Paul has to say about the mercy that he was shown by Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. For that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. God showed Paul immense mercy. Paul, the man who persecuted Christians, dragged them away and threw them into prison, was shown mercy by God. And why does he say that it was done? To set an example of his patience. We have all been forgiven of a great deal. And when you really think about how much we've been forgiven of, how can we feel right not forgiving others? And in fact, that is the commandment that is given. We are commanded to be merciful by God. Not only that command from the Old Testament that Hosea got across of desiring mercy, but Jesus would criticize the Pharisees fairly harshly for not showing mercy. During his seven woes, as we often call it, in Matthew 23, he hits on them several times for not showing mercy, especially in verse 23. Woe to you, you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And in Romans chapter 1, he talks about the ungodly people in the world and what they are like. And he gives a list of the horrible things that they do. And starting in verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, he says, and they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, they who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. Notice amongst that horrible list that includes murder, deceit, slander, arrogant and boastful, it includes unmerciful and unloving as ways that those in the world act. Those are these sins that God is talking about. And in James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we're commanded to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God expects us to show mercy. He commands it. Jesus tried to get this across to the people in many parables that he told. Show mercy, be forgiving. And when he tells the apostles of the Lord's Prayer at the end, he tells them, "For if you do not forgive others, the Lord God will not forgive you." So why don't we do it? Why are we so afraid to show mercy to those who so desperately need it? Maybe we're afraid that by showing mercy to somebody, it'll seem like we're accepting of what they do. But it's possible to show mercy without compromising what we believe. Jesus did it every day of his life. Jesus never compromised in what was right and wrong, but he showed mercy to those who were in sin. By forgiving the woman caught in adultery, he wasn't saying that adultery was okay, but showing her mercy and saying, "Go and sin no more," so that he could bring her into the fold. He showed mercy to us when we didn't deserve it in our sins. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, one that we quote a lot about preaching. Peter commands Timothy to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, but with great patience and careful instruction. It's easy to remember the first part, to correct and rebuke and encourage, and forget the second part, to do it with patience and love. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 26, he commands Timothy that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Be kind to all. With gentleness correct those who are in opposition, because God may grant them repentance. This is the expectation that Jesus has of us. We're told that we are the light of the world, that we need to be out there shining that light to people. And back in that first verse that I read in 1 Peter, we're to be living such good lives that though they accuse us of doing wrong, they may see our good deeds and glorify God. Are we shining that light to the world? Is that what we're putting out there? Are we shining the light of mercy and love and grace, or are we shining a light of judgment and condemnation? And if we're shining that latter light of judgment and condemnation, do we really expect that to bring people to God? If we're shining the light of his mercy, people will be drawn by that. The world is not known for showing mercy. We should be, as a church. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We can stand up for what is right and still do so in a way that shows God's love and mercy to the world. Because God's love and mercy are unending and amazing. And hopefully you've experienced that in your life, the mercy of God. And hopefully you've seen God's forgiveness in your life. If you have, spread it to others. Show them what mercy and love and compassion can look like. If you haven't, we'd love to show it to you. We'd love to help you enter into God's forgiveness and love. We'd love to help you understand how you can achieve that. God wants to love you. God wants to show you mercy. If you'd like to enter into that and haven't, you can come forward while we sing the song that's to come. If you have any needs or want to talk to anybody, you can come forward. Or you can go to the back. We have elders who will be waiting back there to talk to you. You can come forward and talk to somebody while we stand and sing the song of invitation. Thank you.